This is, again, is a modern day map of Israel, but it's going to show us approximate locations. Some of the cities that we're going to be talking about are on the map. Some of them are not, and I'll give you, try to give you approximate locations of where they are. But at least it gives you an idea of lengths of distances that had to be traveled. One of the problems that we are looking at this morning is that sometimes God has given specific instructions for a purpose. And sometimes we in our minds can think that, well, I really don't have to follow because what I'm going to do is just about the same thing and it's going to get it done even better than God's plan. And that's kind of where David was at. Now, for those of you who've been with us through our study on 2 Judges, you know, the last few times we met, David was establishing his kingdom, his rule. Are you still having trouble seeing? Huh? In 2 Samuel, we've been studying in 2 Samuel, and David has been in the process of establishing his kingdom. We've been studying how that he has brought the kingdom together. The Lord under David has brought the kingdom, the northern kingdom, and the southern portion of the kingdom, Judah, and the other tribes, which are the tribes north of Judah. He's brought them together, and they're all under David's leadership. On Wednesday evening, we saw that David had conquered the city of the Jebusites, which we know to be the city of Jerusalem, where Jerusalem is located. There's two significant places there, on Mount Moriah, which is located where the Temple Mount is. Mount Moriah, you remember when Abraham was told, instructed to take Isaac up to Mount Moriah, to the top of Mount Moriah, and when there was nobody living on Mount Moriah at the time, it would have been basically like wilderness, except that it had plants and stuff on it. It wasn't like the desolate as it was during sometimes in Israel's history. But we see the Mount Moriah. He took him up to Mount Moriah, and there he was told to sacrifice his son Isaac. And as he began to get ready for the sacrifice, the Lord provided a ram to take his place. We know that this was a type of the sacrifice that God was going to give on our behalf when Jesus would come in the same location, which is where the city of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount is located today. And we also know that another name for this area is Mount Zion. And Mount Zion is always been God's mountain. And it's where the Lord Jesus Christ shall come and rule and reign from. He shall come and rule and reign from the temple that shall be built by him on the mountain at the time of the millennial kingdom. And he shall reign from Jerusalem from the throne of David. Well, we know that David had conquered the city of the Jebusites, which was Jebus. Referred to as Jebus at the time. Its name was changed to Jerusalem, city of peace. And it's interesting, Jerusalem's been anything but a peaceful city, but that's what its name is, because it's the city of God. And one of the reasons that there's been so much turmoil over Jerusalem over the years is because Satan wants Jerusalem for his possession, and it's the Lord's. Whatever God has, Satan wants. And whatever is precious to God, Satan wants to destroy. And we see that in present day world where he wants to destroy all the Jews. There's a spiritual force behind the enemies of Israel that want to kill all Jewish people. And that we know that that force is demonic and inspired by Satan. We know that the Lord is at work in the lives of the Jewish people today, bringing them back into the land, and now they possess Israel. It's also, now they possess Jerusalem, and it's interesting that not only the United States, but other countries of the world have started to move their embassies to Jerusalem because they're acknowledging that Jerusalem is the capital city of Israel, even though Israel's always said that since they've become a nation, Jerusalem is our capital. Because it was established as the capital under David during the time that we're studying in the Bible right now. And guess what? That was 3,000 years ago. There wasn't even a Hamas at the time. There wasn't a Hezbollah at the time. There weren't Muslims at the time. There weren't even people that called themselves Arabs at the time. There were other descendants of Abraham, but the Jewish people inhabited the land. David had conquered the land. We didn't go into great depth of the battle that he just fought, but prior to this, he'd fought a big battle with the Philistines and driven them away from the center of Israel. And the center of Israel is Jerusalem, which is right here. And that's where Jerusalem is. And the Philistines, he had driven them from the valley country that run along here and driven them back over to what is today Gaza, but at that time it was called the land of the Philistines, or it really had been the Phoenicians were the ones that had settled it as they invaded. And the name Philistine means invaders. And so if there's anybody who invaded the land that was not Israel, it was the Philistines. And it was not the Arabs either. Now, if you look at the events that are transpiring, David has got control of Jerusalem. And one of the things that he desires, and I believe the Lord had revealed to him, is you need to establish the worship center for Israel in Jerusalem. Prior to this, David's headquarters had been down in Hebron, which is right here. And it's south of Jerusalem. And remember, the house of Saul had had their... they were located over here, and the ark was being kept not in Jerusalem, but it was being kept over in this region as well. It had been at Shiloh, but under the Eli, it had been captured by the Philistines, and there was this whole deal where the ark went all the way from up here down over to Gaza, and then and when the people in Ashdod started having big boils and cancerous growths because of God's judgment because they possessed the ark. They called and wanted the ark removed so that it was brought back, and then it was brought back over, not to Shiloh, but we're going to see that it was brought back over to a city that was closer to Shiloh than Jerusalem. So let's begin to read in chapter 6, verse 1. Again, David gathered together the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Bali of Judah to bring up from hence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. I just want to pause there. The Lord of hosts is always a referral to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see the Lord of hosts in the Old Testament, Jesus is referred to as the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of the Sabaoth. And so the God that dwells between the cherubim on the ark is the one who is referred to as the Lord of hosts. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know what that area, it was called the mercy seat. It was to symbolize the place that men would find their forgiveness was at the mercy seat. And we know that the mercy seat of God is found in Jesus Christ. That is where we find His forgiveness, His mercy, and His grace. And so this is the Ark of the Covenant. They're bringing it, they're finding it, and it had been brought down to the place by Gibeah. And they set the Ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Usa and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. Now, I want you to pause here for a second, because do you see anything wrong with this? Nowhere in Scripture was the nation of Israel ever told to place the ark on any other thing than the shoulders of a certain order of the sons of Aaron that were given the instructions to carry the ark, and they were to carry it on wooden poles on their shoulders, and that is the way it was to be transported. And when they came and the Ark of the Covenant was given at the way back in when the nation of Israel was wandering in the desert, and God established the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle under Moses, and he told them what the different portions of the tabernacle, how it was to be set up, who was to set up the tabernacle, who was responsible for different portions of it. There was a certain group of individuals that were descendants of Aaron that were responsible for carrying the ark and taking care of it. And no one else was. Now, we realize that what had happened during the time of David, and because of what had occurred during the judge period in the books of Judges, where we read that the priesthood had really not followed a lot of the things that God had said. But we know that Abinadab was a priest, and he was acting high priest at the time of David. And so he had two sons. Now, if you had to take the ark, and I was trying to find Gibeah on my map that has Gibeah, was at home. It's not in my Bible. But I believe that Gibeah was located somewhere over in here. And if you had to take it by transported by people from over in this area, somewhere around Jericho, all the way over to Jerusalem, that would be a fairly long trip by walking standards, carrying something. And I'm sure that it seemed logical at the time to David and Abinadab, well, we need to get the ark to Jerusalem. That's the home that God has established. That's the center that God wants. We're going all the way back, like I mentioned, to the time of Abraham and the sacrifice of the ram in Isaac's place on the top of Mount Moriah. That is the mountain of God. That is where God has established where he's going to have his throne. And I'm sure David wants to get the ark back there. Well, oxen can go faster than men, and they don't get tired like people do, because they're stronger, and God created them to be beasts of burden. So David and Abinadab hook up oxen to a cart, and the two sons of Abinadab place the ark on the cart drawn by the oxen. And I'm sure they're thinking, well, this should be acceptable to the Lord, because the ones that are going to be directing the oxen are going to be two of the priests, the sons of Abinadab. And they begin to take the ark on its journey to Jerusalem right there from Gibeah. And as they begin to take the ark, let's pick it up at verse 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Usa and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Now, so if you can picture how it's going, they've got the oxen hooked up, and Ahio is going before the oxen, and they're driving the oxen, and his brother is going beside the cart. Okay? Doesn't tell us exactly where he is. All we know is that from the event that's about to transpire, he is somewhere near the cart, and he is, but his brother is leading the oxen. He's going before them. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord. Now, as they're bringing the ark, this is a big deal, because all of a sudden, the center of worship in Israel, remember it had been over in Shiloh, which is over on the, over north of Jericho, on what is now the west bank of the Jordan, and that's where Shiloh is, and that is where the ark had originally been set up and established after Joshua came into the land, and now it had been brought down to Gibeah after it had been returned from the Philistines during the time of the judges, and now it's going to be brought from Gibeah to Jerusalem, which is to be the city of the Lord, the city of peace, the city of God, and also it's the city of David. And so this is a big deal. And there's a great celebration that's going on before the ark. Let's just read about it. And it says, "And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels, and on cornets and on cymbals. And so they were playing music and singing as they went before the ark. And it was because it was a great, joyous and joyful occasion as they were bringing the ark into, going to bring the ark into Jerusalem. Just a side note, there are some Christians today that don't believe you should have any musical instruments at all in the church. I think that you have to be you have to ask God for wisdom in the instruments you have. But we see here that he had instruments in the church, and there's some churches that say you can't even have a piano. You shouldn't have any musical instruments, but there were musical instruments here. It wasn't rock and roll that was being played, though, I want to tell you. It was godly music, and it was songs. And we know that the Psalms are many of the written as songs that the nation of Israel would sing, telling of God's power, telling of God's mercy, telling of God's greatness, calling out for God's help. And so these were the songs that would be sung, and these are the instruments that were played. And so they were going before the Lord, worshiping God. And what happens is there's a problem. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, and Nacon's threshing floor isn't quite to Jerusalem. So they haven't gotten to Mount Moriah, they haven't gotten to Mount Zion, but they're at Nacon's threshing floor. And Nacon's threshing floor. Let's see, get back here. Uzzah, at Nacon's threshing floor, something happens. The oxen stumble. And when the oxen stumble, if you've ever had a team of horses, or if you ever had the privilege of using oxen, I don't know if anybody here has used oxen. I've driven horses before. But horses, if they stumble, it can cause the wagon they're pulling to lurch. Well, same thing with oxen. They're not moving as fast as horses would move. But when they're walking and they stumble, well, what happens is the thing that they're pulling can kind of lurch. Well, that happened with the cart they were pulling. It lurched. And when it lurched, the Ark of the Covenant began to tumble. It began to fall. Now, there was a reason that God wanted it carried on the shoulders of the priests. Part of it was just the whole holiness of it, that it was never to be touched by profane objects, but only that which had made holy, and only by the people that had been instructed to carry it because of its holiness. And it wasn't just an ordinary vessel of worship. This was the Ark of the Covenant. This is where the Lord himself resided to show mercy and grace, not only to Israel, but to the whole world of who he was. And it was to be a symbol of that. Well, the Ark of the Covenant begins to fall off the ox cart. Have any of you ever been anywhere where something begins to fall down? What is your natural tendency when something begins to fall? It's to reach out and catch it, right? And it's a good reaction under normal circumstances because you're trying to prevent it from being broken. If it's a piece of equipment, if it's a person and they're starting to fall, you're trying to catch them before they get hurt. So it's a natural reaction that God has given us when something appears to be in danger. But what happened is, this is the Ark of the Covenant. This is not to be touched by hands. Remember, if you go back to when Moses established the tabernacle and established the vessels within it, there were rings made on the ark, and you slid these poles through the rings so that human hands did not touch the ark. Why weren't human hands to be touching the ark? Because human hands had been defiled by sin. And the ark was a holy and pure symbol of a holy and righteous God. And we can only come to him on his terms, not our terms. Now, Uzziah is walking alongside. We don't know exactly side of the ark, right behind it, but whatever, the Ark of the Covenant seems to be sliding off the back or tipping over the side, but something's happened, and it's about ready to fall off the cart, and Uzzah reaches up and puts out his hand and touches the ark to prevent it from falling. And everyone here would probably say, good for him. No, it was bad for him. Because he touched that which was holy, sacred, and pure, and he touched it with unholy hands. He touched it with a sinner's hands. Even though he was a priest, and even though he believed and trusted in God, he was still a sinner and relying on the grace of God. Verse 7, and the anger, or verse 6, we can read the account of it. It says, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Now, in reading Bible commentators and those who studied greatly into this, and I totally agree with them, it would have been better for the ark to have fallen into the dirt than for Uzzah to have touched it. Because the dirt is part of God's creation, and the dirt was not a symbol of sin. Our hands are that which causes, one of the things that causes us to sin. And so he touched that which was sinful, and it would have been better had it just fallen on the ground, and then they came and lifted it up the way they should have done in the first place. So Uzzah dies. Well, what's the response? David is in great distress, and a lot of people misinterpret this verse, and they think he's mad with God. David is not mad with God. Let's just take a look at the following verse. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? And skip verse 8. Verse 8, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was not displeased with God in the sense that he was angry with the Lord. If you read in the original language from what I've studied, those who can adequately interpret it, David's displeasure came to himself because of the position he had placed the Lord in, where God had to judge because of David's lack of judgment. And God had to uphold his honor, and David had not done it. David had not properly carried the ark the way that the Lord had instructed. David did not follow God's command. David had done everything else right, but he didn't do that right, and this was critical. Because this was to symbolize the holiness of who God is. And so David was displeased, but he's displeased with himself because he had put the Lord in a position where he had to judge to uphold his holiness, and the judgment fell on Uzzah, who had done that which was an act of unholiness in touching the ark. And so David's displeasure is examined, and David was afraid of the Lord that day. And why was he afraid of the Lord? Because David was the one who had come to the conclusion, it's better to move it faster so we can get it here quicker, because we need to have it at Jerusalem, which is going to be God's place, and let's get it moving instead of waiting to do it the proper way. And so David feared, because the Lord could have judged many more than Uzzah, could have judged Abinadab and David for the decisions they made as well. And so David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Now he's afraid the ark would not even be able to come into his presence because of what he had done. Well, what happens? So David could not move the ark of the Lord onto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Abinadab, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And so it was placed into his household, and he doesn't say anything about he had great curiosity and wanted to look inside the ark. No, he didn't touch it. He allowed it to rest there as they brought and placed it there, and he was blessed by the Lord because he honored the Lord, and God blessed him, and he blessed his house. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." And so David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they were bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Now David does it the right way. And he goes and gets the priests. They put it on poles. They carry it up. There's great gladness because the ark is coming. God's judgment isn't coming on Israel because they had violated his holiness by allowing the ark to be carried in a manner not dictated by him. And it comes up, and David does everything right this time. He has sacrifices offered, as he's told to do, and in the presence of the ark, and the Lord is pleased. Now, what is the lesson we can learn? Well, one of the things is we can think we're doing God's business, and we may be doing what many would perceive is what the Lord wants us to do, but if we're not doing it in God's way, it will not have the results that we intend to have. And oftentimes, we can think we're seeing good results coming from something, but if we're not doing it, as we saw this morning, in the power of the Lord, that's where we gain our strength, is from God, not in our wisdom, not in our ways we do things. And so we see David did it in his own wisdom and had problems, and when he came back to the Lord and sought the Lord and did it according to the way the Lord had commanded it be done, then there was great joy and gladness, and God allowed the ark to come into the city of David as he had planned. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, and thank you for the opportunity you give to us to study about the Ark of the Covenant and the movement of it, and how that is something as what we would perceive as simple as moving it the wrong way, in the wrong manner, resulted in a violation of your character because they weren't following your commands. And Lord, I pray that you help us to realize there are many times that we do things that we think will help you, but really harm you because we don't do things in your power, by your way, according to your command. Lord, help us to do that. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And in closing, if you turn with me to 491.